Welcome to the Sketchy Sketch Sketch Show podcast. It's open mic night for sketch.
We cold read comedy sketches, then discuss how they were written.
Here to host the show, I'm Harrison.
And I'm Amy. With us in the writer's room,
I'm Keely Anastasia.
I'm Keith Estrella.
I'm Tyler Chick.
In this week's episode, first, a musical parody that brings light to a real world issue. Then, the second sketch is inspired by one too many White Claws. Finally, you'll want to shimmy and sashay your way into this zany sketch. Then join us on the riff plane with Tyler and Michaela.
And stick around to the very end of the episode for a fun writing prompt to inspire your own writing. With us on the podcast today,
Kara Myers, she, her.
John Potter, he, him.
Michaela Oliverio, she, her.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Y'all ready to goof?
Yay. It's a goof off time.
Wait, you guys, I'm having a problem.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to get into Shamu problems, and it says, there was a problem loading more pages. Oh, on my Shamu problem.
That's just an internet problem.
Yeah.
I would just close that's out and try it again.
That's a me? I did this?
It's not a Shamu problem.
I wanted to blame Shamu so bad. I'm so sorry.
Everybody wants to blame Shamu.
I had to download it. Mm.
Sometimes that's the fastest way.
Sometimes. And good, that was today. Wow.
Kara, I just want to say in general, I'm proud of you for all the situations like this weekend that you...
This weekend? I went to like two parties. Look at me.
Okay, popular.
Yeah, okay, so did you, John Potter? You were at one of them.
Yeah.
And this person who I may or may not have slept with after they may or may not have chased me for a few years and then he ghosted me, showed up to said party with their significant other and I did nothing about it. I didn't look at him. I didn't talk to him. I stayed on the other side of the party and we truly just acted like the other person didn't exist. If you walked into the party and you didn't know either of us, you would assume we were strangers.
Wow.
That's the pinnacle of hell.
Amazing. I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, that was like a big step. John Potter, you were there. Can you confirm?
Yeah, honestly, I was there and I didn't notice you have any interaction with said person. And I had multiple, so you weren't a part of those interactions. So
I didn't even notice that you did. That's how much I didn't pay attention to them.
Wow. That's growth.
It sounds like since you don't have any problems anymore, let's hear about some Shamu problems.
What a segue.
You have no more problems.
Honestly, what a segue. I loved Amy deserves an Oscar for that writing right there.
Thank y'all. So clearly our first sketch is Shamu Problems, written by
Keely Anastasia.
Leslie will be played by
Kara Myers.
Nolan will be played by
Keefe.
Mr. Chombley will be played by
John Potter.
And Adelaide will be played by
Michaela Oliverio.
Interior school auditorium night. We focus on Leslie and Nolan West, clearly parents, who take their seats in the last row of a crowded audience. They begin to flip through a program. The cover says 91st Annual Pacific Beach Middle School Talent Show.
Oh, look, Addie's up first. She's been working so hard.
They joke to one another as the lights go down.
I'm so glad all those years of piano lessons are paying off.
Well, I'm glad we don't have to keep listening to her play this Taylor Swift song over and over again.
They laugh. Mr. Tombley has been welcoming everyone.
And without further ado, let's get this talent show on the road. First up, we have eighth grader Adelaide West, who describes her performance as a... And I want you to know that this is a quote. A dramatic retelling of a timeless example of humanity's arrogant imposition of self over nature, unsurprisingly gone awry from the perspective of the victim. Also, a piano cover. Well, here's Addie.
The audience claps hesitantly, save for Leslie and Nolan, who are beaming. The curtains open. Adelaide takes her place at the piano. She's wearing a blonde wig. Oh, and a whale costume. She begins playing T. Swift's Champagne Problems.
I don't remember whales being part of the song.
Yeah, she's been kind of obsessed since we watched Blackfish a couple weeks ago. She said she wants to be an interpreter for whales in court.
Is that even a thing?
I suppose it could be.
Nolan says to the couple sitting next to him.
Adelaide West, You're going to want to remember that name. She's going to be big one day for singing and justice and ocean justice. That's my girl.
Shh, I don't want to miss a word.
These squeeze hands are giddy. Addie begins to sing.
You sit in the back row for a reason.
Leslie and Nolan think she's talking about them because they're sitting in the back row and they get a little excited.
Because you don't want to get wet.
Her parents' faces turn to confusion.
But I'm a 2,000-pound orca. The splash zone's the whole audience. Then you'll head down to the gift shop to buy a new dry tank top. But there's more to me than belly flop. So Shamu problems. Here I'm always so dissatisfied. Wanna see the world, I'm starry-eyed. Roast marshmallows. The fireside Shamu problems.
Oh, that's so clever. It's a parody about SeaWorld from the perspective of the killer whales. Oh, I'm so glad you got us transferred to San Diego.
Leslie kisses Nolan on the cheek.
What was that part about marshmallows?
Don't get me started on mating season.
Kurt West 80s limps out on the stage in a matching whale costume with a Hugh Hefner robe over top.
Humans horny for whale births.
Kurt gyrates a little, then limps back off stage.
Was that your father?
I wanna make a splash out in the free world. Need something worth celebrating. Wanna crochet, I need a hobby. I'm dying to try charcuterie. Even join a pyramid scheme. Oh, Shamu problems. Oh, maybe I'll drive a school bus and attend a wedding with a plus. One day it won't sound so superfluous. Oh, Shamu problems.
Taylor's traditional interlude of O's is replaced by a chorus of whale sounds by Adelaide. The couple next to Nolan gives him a look.
Told you you would remember her name.
He snaps toward his wife.
Okay, what is going on?
Who knew she was so creative?
Should we stop this?
What? Silence her? Like, Tilikum was silenced the moment they abducted him from Icelandic waters? I can't believe you'd propose such a thing when our daughter is bringing light to animal cruelty as we speak.
No, I just mean, maybe...
Maybe a trip to Paris or Berlin would unflop my dorsal fin. Blooming onion from Outback Steakhouse. That creamy sauce, it was made for me.
This is insane.
John the trainer was my friend. Now I'll never get to see her again. Promise I never meant to. Eat her in the pool that we once swam through.
Kurt starts to walk back on stage.
Not you! I did one trick for your money and two for the show. Then I started dreaming about baking sourdough. Sometimes you don't hear the whistle. You're hungry, but there's no fish for you.
Leslie and Nolan stare wide-eyed for different reasons.
Tilikum was a killer whale. What a shame he sucked in the head. They said, promise I never meant for bloodshed, though she was a slice of my homemade bread.
Adelaide pauses dramatically before dragging the overturned piano bench to its rightful spot while her parents say,
Did she just swear?
No, she said shucked, as in oysters. God, she's brilliant.
I can't hike the Appalachian Trail or make it rain on a Chippendale.
Kurt comes out once again throwing dollar bills across the stage. Adelaide stops abruptly and sings a cappella.
All because I put the killer in killer whale.
As she hurls a plastic sphere across the stage at Kurt, he fakes death and backs off stage. Addie returns to the piano.
That Shamu problems I can't go back to. Reykjavik just turned me into a fish stick. Then I won't remember all my...
Tears well in Leslie's eyes as she mouths along with...
Shamu problems.
Oh my god. People are recording. SeaWorld's gonna end us. I'm testing my boss to see if we can get us transferred somewhere landlocked.
Adelaide looks out at the audience as she concludes.
I won't remember all my Shamu problems.
The audience claps hesitantly. Nolan sinks into a seat. Leslie gives her a standing ovation while making whale calls to the stage. Adelaide skips around the perimeter of the stage, waving one fin to the crowd as the captive whales do. The curtains draw as we black out. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, but I'm sorry.
Sorry, but I thought all white women were.
Solidarity. No, I'm there with you.
I'm not a fan, but for some reason, my Discover Weekly playlist on Spotify always like throws Taylor Swift covers into my Discover Weekly. One of them was Champagne Problems one time, and I was like, oh, it'd be kind of funny if it was Shamu Problems. And then I brought it on. We may not even have been the riff playing yet.
Yeah, maybe. I think this was the episode where...
We did a seance.
Yeah.
And there were just so many hilarious ideas about, like, what if Shamu's problems were, like, he was just longing for... like human things. One of them was Harrison. I want to drive a school bus came from Harrison.
that checks out.
And truly, I could have written a whole parody just about Shamu wanting to ride a school bus from all the riffs on that episode. But so a lot of the ideas came from that. I watched Blackfish. As my research to write this, but then that kind of ruined things for me because I was really sad and I was like, I don't want to make fun of these whales. They've already been through so much. So then that's when I brought in the Tillicum storyline into this. That's pretty much where it came from. And I had to listen to Champagne Problems so many times and I'm really afraid it's going to end up in my Spotify year in review playlist now.
Yes.
So I'm going to have to do...
You're like, top song oh my gosh. Is going to be Champagne Problems.
If Taylor Swift ends up in my top artist, I'm going to have a fit. But it's going to be a long year making up for that. So anyways, if this is the fruit, then it shall be worth it. Yeah. Thank you so much, readers. That was fantastic.
I love a parody song. This is a great one. It's totally ridiculous because it's such an A to C. Like, it has nothing to do with Champagne Problems. It has, like, absolutely nothing to do with Taylor Swift. It's just a great A to C on the name of the thing. And it's great A parody.
I'd love to see it live.
Same.
Me too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially with the costumes too. Like, yes. This, even like not only the song and the writing, but also like the staging, like the stage direction and all of the props and costumes that are like built into this, like just scream for it to be like performed on stage.
Yes, absolutely. Did
anyone watch Us Told by Ginger?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So my inspiration for like the setting is there. I don't know why this is in my consciousness to this day, but there's this one episode where I don't even know Ginger's one friend is in the talent show or some performance. And she performs this song called I'm a Little Seal Girl. And she wears a seal costume. And it's like so secondhand embarrassing. But like then everyone loves it. Because she like comes out of her shell, but she comes out in a seal costume. So that was kind of what I was channeling.
I love the Nolan Leslie stuff. I think it makes your like filming day harder if you ultimately like put this on screen. For me, a parody song can be as simple as just like doing a music video for the song. And I think this is like a gestalt enough idea from Champagne Problems that like you get enough like laughs just from the carryover to do that. But something I love is that Nolan... Page one, first thing Nolan fucking says is, I'm so glad all these years of piano lessons are paying off. And I would like love more of Nolan's shit to be like, she can really like to be about like $687 a year on piano lessons really did like I just think that's like such a fun perspective. And I love Leslie like getting more and more like proud of Adelaide. yeah, I mean, so those are great. I think for me, like, I would love to see, I love the like grandpa coming on stage. I think that's hilarious. I would love one more of those. It's so killer. The only things I can say are like, what if the frame was X, Y, or Z? And like, I think the frame you have here is great. And the only like change you could make could like possibly make a production easier. Because I think like if you were doing this on a, like a stage sketch show, someone could just get on the stage and sing the song, and that could be all you got to do. Like, it's that solid.
You know that I'm a big fan of comedy songs, and as a lifelong Weird Al connoisseur, have to acknowledge the skill level of lyricism here, because it's not. A lot of people ignore like syllable count in a line, or like how the line is syncopated, so it's the right number of syllables, and just like everything was like just like on point, like A to A, like the rhyme scheme perfectly preserved. You don't always see that, so I appreciate it.
I don't want to go next.
Agreed. No, this is, I have like song parodies like that I've been wanting to write, and this like is inspiring me to like get into writing them, because this is so, this was so, so fun.
But it's funny you say that, Carrie, too, because I was thinking in the show, this show, Adelaide is first. So right. Like, I don't know if you want to like comment on that, or maybe make her last, like finally or whatever, but just to be like, are we supposed to put something else on after that? Hilarious.
Yeah. Thank you. Jesus. Wow. John Potter's like, thank God Carrot's next, not me.
Just having Mr. Twombly come up afterwards and be like, we'll be doing Danny Stevenson next after we clean Grandpa's blood off the stage.
And Danny's gonna show us some fidget spinner routine.
Yeah.
She's gonna be big one day for singing. And justice. And ocean justice.
All right. Our second sketch today is titled Phone Call, written by
Kara Myers.
Officer Moore will be played by
Amy D.
Trish will be played by
Michaela Oliverio.
And Bruce will be played by
Tyler Chick.
Interior jail night. Officer Moore is giving Trish her one phone call. Trish is drunk and she stays very drunk this whole sketch.
All right, you got one phone call.
You have my cell phone and I need it for this. Can I get it back?
I cannot do that.
That's like so not fair. I only know one number by heart and it's not my parents because they both died. In a tragic cross-country curling accident. It's a thing. Trust me. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Whatever number you know is the one you're going to have to call.
Fine. But you know I hate you. And I hate jail. I'm, like, not even that drunk. Do you, like, have rapists to go get? Or do you just love rapists? Ugh, cops.
Trish goes to the phone to make her one call.
Hi, I'm in jail. Can you come get me? Ew, no. I don't want to get back together. Yours just happens to be the only number I know by heart, and I am drunk. Help me.
Officer Moore starts laughing, and Trish puts her hand over the speaker of the phone.
Why are you laughing? Are you making fun of me? I can't believe you make fun of women and you love rapists. You're so gross.
Did you really just call your ex?
Technically. And as you can see, I am still on the phone and you, sir, are being very rude. And yes, I did call my ex because you made me. This is your fault.
Trish takes her hand off the speaker of the phone and begins talking to her ex again.
Sorry. Officer Rude was being rude. So, are you coming to pick me up or what? I'm at the jail at Alameda. What do you mean you won't pick me up unless I tell you that I'm still in love with you? I'd rather die in jail than have this conversation. Ugh. Bye.
Trish hangs up the phone.
I guess you were right. Definitely not the right person to call.
Lock me up and throw away the key. Because no one is coming to get me.
Ugh, calm down. You're only in the drunk tank. You'll be out by morning.
Officer Moore takes Trish back to her cell. Then all of a sudden, the phone rings. Moore picks it up.
Precinct 68, this is Officer Moore speaking. How can I help you? No, you can't talk to her. She's been arrested. Either come get her or leave it alone.
A long beat, and then Officer Moore hangs the phone up and immediately goes back to his paperwork.
Well, what did he say?
I refuse to get in the middle of your couple drama.
Ew, we're not a couple. I can't believe he actually called back. How? Why is he so obsessed with me?
I think it would be best if you just sleep this off and let me finish my paperwork.
Ew. I haven't slept since 1998. Want to know the weirdest thing about Bruce? He has this really big tongue. Like, no tongue muscles. It's like his tongue just sleeps in his mouth. You have to let me out before he comes and finds me with that giant, boring tongue.
You're overreacting and oversharing. I can't let you out of that cell. We found you trying to dry hump the Hollywood sign, and then you blew a 2.7. We've never seen anyone blow anything close to that. You're not stable enough to be out on your own. We have to keep you here for your safety.
The phone rings again. Officer Moore gets up to go answer the phone, but Trish screams.
No, don't answer it. It's Bruce again. God, he's obsessed with me. Ever since I ate a month's worth of his cum. That doesn't make him special. I was just hungry, honestly. Men like him are why I'm single. Oh my God. He said he would only go down on me on my birthday, but we broke up a week before my birthday. Coincidence? I think not.
I don't want to hear any of this.
Oh, sorry. I'm just feeling chatty.
Officer Moore goes to answer the phone.
Precinct 68. This is Officer Moore speaking. How can I help you?
A long beat and then Moore hangs up the phone.
Told you so.
It was someone calling asking about my car's extended warranty.
The door of the precinct opens and in walks Bruce. Yes!
Hi, I'm here to bail out Patricia Jackson.
Officer Marcus Trish, a look.
Hey, don't judge me. I've been drunk since 1998.
My name is Bruce. I'm Patricia's boyfriend.
Do not listen to him. That is not my boyfriend. I'm a single lady, and Patricia is the name the white man gave me. How do you even get here so quickly? I called you 5 minutes ago.
Patricia, you are white, and you still share your location with me. As long as you're willing to admit you still have feelings for me, I'll bail you out.
One? I'm only white by appearance, okay? Two? You can check my location, but jeez, not eat my pussy? Rude. Three? Never.
I think it's time you go.
Officer Moore goes to walk Bruce out of the precinct.
But I'm here to bail her out.
She's a little too drunk. We should really keep her here overnight.
Oh, my God. Ugh. Officer Moore, are you flirting with me? Do you want to fuck me? Cops are so obsessed with me. It's like, why?
Officer Moore rolls his eyes as we black out. The idea came from the fact that there is one number I know by heart that is not my parents' number and is my terrible ex-boyfriend's number. Actually, could we even call him a boyfriend? We don't know. But if I were to ever get in trouble, Outside of truly my parents' home phone number, his is the only number I know by heart. Still do. To this day, it won't leave. Like, it's been 11 years. And so I just was like, how fun is that? You know, and then I was like, well, you know, my parents are alive, so I could call them first, but they are in Chicago. So I had to make them dead in this, obviously. So, yeah, that was the process. Yeah. And then it's, I was like, why fun. Would I get... I was like, what would I get in trouble for? And I was like, I'm publicly drunk, obviously. Here we are.
I mean, Trish is, I feel like you've been honing this character for years and you just float out of you.
Truly the easiest character to write of all time.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a heightened version of like getting drunk and texting your ex, but like to like the extreme, most extreme level. So I love how it's both your true story of only knowing this one number, but also like this very real, tangible thing that we've all done, you know?
Me? Never.
No, I said we all.
I know.
I didn't want to make you feel bad about how often you do it.
I haven't done it since 1998.
You have a cell phone in 98?
I just didn't have that in there a third time, so I had to get it in now so you guys all know I know the rule of three.
Yeah, yeah, that was going to be my next note, is if you just mention the year 1998 one more time.
Yeah, one more of this, right at the blow. This cop's been obsessed with me since 1998. He's not my boyfriend.
There we go, we got it.
Her saying, trust me, it's a thing after... They
died in
the
farm. Yeah. So like, honestly, two more trust me it's a things would be great.
Yeah.
I guess the boring tongue is a good place for like, trust me, a giant tongue with no muscles, it's a thing.
Giant boring tongue is such a fucking good specific. It's so good. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
Sleeping in my mouth.
Sleeping in my mouth. Trust me it's a thing.
I've been on a lot of bad dates, y'all.
I'm feeling chatty as like a quick little justification, and I'd love to see that pushed up just a little bit, like just an early I'm feeling chatty, I think would give us like just so much breathing room on how much she's just like chatting with this cop. I mean, she's drunk and we know that, but I'm feeling chatty was like so good for me. I love that.
Thank you.
You can even put that like right at the top, because the officer says you get one phone call and then she can say, I mean, like, you have the cell phone stuff, but you could say something and be like, oh, I want to talk to, like, so many people. I'm feeling so shatty. 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 Shatty.
Officer Rude was being rude.
Our final sketch today is titled Liza's Legacy, written by
John Potter.
Stage directions will be read by
Keely Anastasia.
Liza with a Z will be played by
John Potter.
And Joel will be played by
Harrison Merck.
Interior lavish hotel suite in Los Angeles day. Liza Minnelli ends a phone call. She wears a red sequin top, hair styled in her signature bob. She moves in her jazzy, flamboyant way. Her assistant, Joel, enters with her lunch.
You're terrific. Just terrific. See you tomorrow, doctor. Yes. Ta-ta.
Liza hangs up the phone and sashays to Joel with jazz hands.
Oh, hello, Joel, darling.
Oh, good afternoon, Miss Minnelli.
I told you, call me Liza with a Z.
Of course, Liza. I heard you on the phone with a doctor. Everything okay?
Oh, I'm fabulous, darling. Just fabulous. It was just a consultation with my lady doctor.
Are you going through the change?
No! God damn it, I'm gonna have a baby! I booked a pre-pregnancy appointment with my OBGYN to look at my conception options.
Pre-pregnancy? Why?
Don't say why, say why not.
Stop referencing your songs.
But Joel, I must. Don't you see? The public is forgetting about me. I'm the only child of movie musical legends, Judy Garland and Vincent Minnelli. I'm Hollywood royalty, damn it. And if I don't have a baby and pass on my talents, our esteemed family legacy ends with me.
Liza. Dara, I understand, but you're 75. It's not realistic to get pregnant in your third trimester of life.
Oh. Reality is something you rise above, old chum. Now, find my date book.
Joel hands Liza Minnelli her planner.
I'm happy to add the appointment to your calendar.
Oh, you're a doll, darling. Thanks.
Joel sets lunch on the table. Liza grapevines to her table and begins crossing out all the days in her planner.
May I help you, Miss Minnelli?
Please call me Liza with a Z.
Liza, what are you doing?
All the magazines say to monitor my cycle. I'm crossing off the days since my last period so I can track when I'm ovulating. Okay, the last time Aunt Flo paid a visit was when Kermit the Frog replaced my Sardi's caricature during my Muppets Take Manhattan cameo in 1984.
That's oddly specific. Listen, Liza, not only am I your assistant, but I'm your number one fan. While it pains me to tell you, I need to be honest. It's biologically impossible for you to conceive a child.
Oh, I skipped oodles of periods during my sold-out concerts at Carnegie Hall. I'm still as fertile as Myrtle. Just a shimmy and a swizzle and we'll shuffle all the eggs from my fallopian tube. I have a legacy to uphold, darling. My family's been in showbiz since the 1700s. Look at my parents, my God. The line can't die with me, Joel.
Look, I worship you and your iconic showbiz family. Trust me, Liza, if anyone wants you to procreate and instill your persona, entertainment genius, and jazz hands into another generation, it's me. But you've had 3 miscarriages, and I'm not talking about your movie musical flops in the late 70s. You literally cannot bear children.
Maybe this time I'll be lucky.
Stop trying to win me over by singing your showstoppers. Now please eat. Lunch is getting cold.
Liza sits dramatically and sips soup. She notices a cocktail.
Joel, what's this?
Oh, your afternoon martini, per usual.
Liza Charlestons to Joel and throws the martini in his face.
You bastard! I'm trying to get pregnant. I must cut all alcohol, cigarettes, and caffeine. Speaking of, I heard on the radio that I need to take prenatal vitamins every day.
Liza pulls a bottle of prenatal pills from her cleavage and shimmies while emptying the entire bottle into her mouth.
Liza, only take one pill per day.
I know what I'm doing. I learned about barbiturates from the best, my mother. I popped pills at Studio 54 with Andy Warhol before Tommy Toon was a household name.
Who will even father your baby?
I never thought you'd ask, darling.
Oh, God, no. Not. I'm clearly gay.
So is my father and my first husband. It runs in the family, darling. I have a legacy to hold, after all. And don't you want to be a part of it?
Liza rips her blouse, revealing black lingerie, and puts on a derby hat. She slings her leg on a chair and dances Fosse Minor choreography from Cabaret.
Doesn't my body drive you wild with desire? Dear Abby says to have sex every day to conceive quickly.
Miss Minnelli, you're trying to seduce me.
It's Liza with a Z. Now, give me the D.
I'm your number one fan. You know I care as if Fosse choreo from your Oscar-winning performance in Cabaret.
How's about a private show? What good is sitting alone in your room? Come, hear the music play.
This is somehow every gay man's best dream and worst nightmare.
Liza pounces Joel and kisses him.
I was like, well, I really want to do like a celebrity driven sketch. And like Liza is like truly one of my all time favorites. I cannot explain how her and her music and her movies got me through this pandemic. But so I really wanted to do like an homage to her, but also a exaggerated version of her already exaggerated like personality. But this is a real concern that I've had. I'm like, Judy Garland and Vincent Minnelli's true Hollywood legacy like will not be passed down because like Liza didn't have any children. And sure, Judy had children with other husbands, but like they're not her.
Right.
No offense to Judy. No offense to Lorna Luft, but she's no Liza Minnelli. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just like, this what's it called? Lightning in a bottle is truly going to like end. And it just like really, really gets me down. So I was like, what if Liza had the same thought? And so that's where this sketch really came from. And I tried to kind of like keep the momentum going by not only referencing some of her like songs and movies and whatever, but also her kind of like, I was also kind of referencing or tipping my hat towards Kristen Wiig's performance on SNL, where she does that sketch like Liza turns off a lamp. And so very much trying to work into the stage directions those jazz hands and shimmies and Charlestons and like, you know, all of those sort of things that kind of Liza's known for.
My like favorite thing about this is how much Joel is doing like a really great job at sympathetic disagreement here. Like as we get further down in the sketch, Joel's doing more like, look, I am your biggest fan. I want this to happen. There's so many reasons. And I think that like from the perspective of like establishing a base reality and then slowly letting it die to like let the game sort of like take over, I'd love to see like more sympathetic disagreement at the top and then like slowly let Joel sort of be like more and more over it as she's like coming on to him.
Okay.
I think that would help you like start in a more grounded place and then like slowly kill your base reality as it's like less necessary for the audience.
That makes total sense.
Yeah. I want to see, well, one, I just want even more, references to her songs. Like all the time. And I just want Joel to like truly get lost in them. Like as soon as she opens her mouth and starts singing, maybe it's more of a visual thing, but I just like want him to like be transported and like have to like snap himself back into reality and be like, no.
Totally. Yes. I love that. Cause I think I was trying to be economical on the page and not like have like her do a whole verse, but I totally would like want in live performance, like her to sing more and he just gets like, yes, transfixed by her. Yes, I love it.
Starting to like sing along and then be like, no. We can't, you can't.
Yeah, like when she says, maybe this time I'll be lucky, and then Joel has to like snap out and be like, nobody's getting lucky tonight.
Oh, that's good.
I just had like one little, this is nothing, this is just a dumb pitch. But you reference a magazine and then a radio and then Dear Abby as like three things. I love that. But I think you could use maybe some old timey magazine or just kind of highlight that a little bit more. Cause I noticed it as we were going along, those three different fun things that she's referencing, like they're telling me these things to do.
Right.
I don't know, like something about it just felt old timey. So yes, I don't know.
That's
like,
kind of what I was going for. That she's a little like
Gotcha.
As they kiss and it blacks out, it could be a spinning newspaper headline that says like 76-year-old celebrity gives birth.
Oh my god, I love it so much. Oh my god.
You mean pregnant man and move over 76-year-old woman.
Oh my gosh. I think we just need to mention that she's an EGOT winner somewhere.
Oh, wow. How can I forget to even include that?
You want to do me on my trophy kicks?
The last time Aunt Flo paid a visit was when Kermit the Frog replaced my Sardi's caricature during my Muppets Take Manhattan cameo. And
hey, what is that sound?
I don't know what that is.
Is that an upset cat?
No! It's me, your roof captain. Those are the sounds that I make in my head. I'm verbalizing them when I'm flying.
Hey, roof captain. How's it going?
I thought I'd involve you all in the fun sound department.
Hey, my idea on my ticket is a person who's too eager to make a deal with the devil. Just trying to keep it casual.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not obsessed with you. I'm obsessed with a gift. I just want the gift.
Okay. I'm thinking of game shows like Let's Make a Deal or The Price is Right, where like people are like so excited to like come down and like try their hand at winning something.
Yeah. That's very fun.
I can also, since like I feel like most devil contracts in media are done with blood. So just like cutting your hand like way too early.
Like slowly passing out.
Yeah. I don't even know
we haven't even yet. Agreed to terms. I have a whole song I'm going to do about the terms. Forget the song. It's,
it's a music competition.
Yeah.
You know how I live in New York City, so I don't know where you guys live, but there's people that stand on the streets holding signs that like God can save you, but yeah, it could design. Be like the opposite. Like the devil loves you, he lets you do whatever you want, like, you know.
Yeah,
why be good when you can be bad?
Yeah, with a megaphone.
Hoping that the devil sees this, you know. Guys, get the word out, make sure the devil sees that I'm rooting for him.
Right. I would love just the words like hear yeah. Satan out.
Everyone tag the devil in the comments.
Like, why would you want to go to heaven if you could be first place in hell?
So when like people are like, oh, you know, I can't believe I won this Oscar, I just want to thank God, I'm like, did God write your screenplay, sir? No. That's where that's from. I'm so sorry. Just like, give yourself some credit.
I love the idea of giving this credit to Satan, though. You know, like getting out a screenplay and being like, I'm going to say you wrote this.
I'm manifesting Satan.
And Satan's like, I've read that screenplay. Please do not. You can give that one to God. That one is garbage.
Do you want a copy of the album I'm going to attribute to you? There's an EP I made. You made it. We haven't even agreed to terms. I have a whole song I'm going to do about the terms.
Oh, hello. Are you new to the Rift Plane deal?
Apparently I am.
Okay, so came up with this thinking, because I love dogs. So if kids were introduced to people, like dogs were like walking on the street, like, oh, my dog, he's friendly, you know? So they're friendly, but it was kids instead of pets, you know, like, can I pet your dog? Mm. Can I play with your child? I don't know if that's like too like pedophilia.
No, I think it's so funny.
Yeah.
I think there, it speaks there to something can be like a altruistic way to like approach it. That's not creepy.
Yeah.
I think if you just make the map super clear up top, mm-hmm. like, oh, does she bite?
Well, she's still breathing.
My favorite is like, what's its name? Because you don't want to ask if it's a boy or a girl, and like, I have a friend who's like, you can't look at the dog, so you just have that friend. Like, actually, could you not look at her until she looks at you? And then you can approach with caution, but again, let her sniff you before you pet her. Yeah, like real rules.
She's a rescue.
I feel like if you did a full map, you could make everybody weird. It's just a world where children are dogs. Which is essentially true.
Right. I like mm-hmm. at the park and having it be yeah. like just somebody walking through and be like, oh, look at that, getting good sniffs. And just like doing that to a kid. And then a parent being like, don't touch my kid without asking. Like, don't pet yeah. my child without asking.
She's a service child.
Yeah. What's she's her a service. Breed?
She's working.
Yeah. What's her breed?
What's her breed? What's the breed? I can really kiss. Oh, you know, actually.
She's fully Caucasian.
We just found out she's fully Caucasian.
That's very here's the paperwork.
Oh, quite a pedigree.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then we wanted to end with like someone picking up their poop in a bag. Like,
right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that's a good riff.
Roof Captain, can you get us to assignment station, please?
Right here.
All right. Sketchies, the assignment this week is balloons. Balloons are a great thing of wonder. Children love them.
Can we get the definition of balloon? Yeah. I don't understand.
Think about how much children care about balloons. Think about, you know, the fact that they defy gravity. Balloons are cool. they're almost as funny. They're like naturally funny things. They're wondrous. They like deflate and then stop doing what they're supposed to do. They make a loud fucking noise and scare people. There's nothing that's not funny about balloons. Enjoy. Wow. Cool. Yeah. Riff Kevin, you want to get us to Plugport?
Plugport, one way. Okay.
All right. Keely, you got anything you want to plug?
I want to plug rhymezone.com. For all your rhyming needs. And if she doesn't, I want to plug Michaela's TikTok account, MicklePickle888. It is my favorite. I recently followed, I agree.
Kara, anything you want to plug?
Yeah. Follow me on Instagram at Kara Myers and on Twitter. I've been tweeting. It's fun. Yesterday I tweeted about how an old man gave me a present because I was reading. It's very weird.
But it was Trump.
No, because like I'm always, if you know me, you know that my dream in life is to be a sugar baby, but I do nothing to make this dream come true. And so this man watched me read for 45 minutes and then told me he had a present for me.
Oh.
And I was like, this is it. This is my sugar daddy.
Finally fulfilled dream.
No, he came and he gave me a bookmark that was and it had like a hand painted princess on it, and it was actually very sweet.
What?
It was very sweet.
Where's the
no
bookmark?
Money?
Whip it out.
I will whip it out. It's in my room because I did use it. I started using it with the book I was reading. So yeah, lovely stories like that on my Twitter. At Kara Effing Myers. Also, I will plug something for John Potter Harrison and I. There's nothing there yet, but eventually, if you start following just
this episode George, comes out March 27th, so 4 days out.
Okay.
In just 4 days.
Just 4 days. If you start following just.jorts with like a Z, like Liza, eventually you're going to get some really fun content. Right now, there's absolutely nothing there. But eventually, you're going to get some fun content.
JP, you want to play it?
Yes. John Potter 6 on all social media. Smash that follow button. And this has nothing to do with like any of my content. But I would love to plug the 1972 television special, Liza with a Z. And I think everyone should watch it because it is incredible. Liza is giving you full singing, full dancing, full acting. It is amazing. And it's about to celebrate its 50 year anniversary. And I think everyone should commemorate it by having a watch. It's only 50 minutes long. It's like well worth the watch.
Anything from the writer's room? Any other writer's room plugs?
Hey, remember we have a Discord. Come to check it out.
All right, check out our
Discord server.
Yeah, I got a plug. I went to a German restaurant on Thursday. It's called Post. Post German Restaurants in Aberdeen, Maryland. Oh yeah, I had the Schweinebraten, which is like just like pork chops basically. And I had like a potato dumpling that was really good. How else was it? Sauerkraut, of course. Sauerkraut. But they got all your
what
German food needs. Sauerkraut. That's how they pronounce it. Post. Post.
All right, friends, that's all for us today. Thank you to all the participants and to the Jeff Powers for the music you've heard. Also, a big thanks to you, the listeners. If you'd like to support the show or check out more that we have to offer, head on over to sketchysketchsketch.com.
And while you're there, click the support tab and check out our Patreon. Become the ultimate sketchy. Get exclusive stuff on our Patreon. And if you're like, hey, I got a bunch of sketches and I don't know where to read them and I want notes on them, come on the show. Send us your stuff. There's a place on the website. You can click it. You can fill out a form. You can come on the show with your stuff.
Do it. And feel free to reach out to us on our website if one of the sketches you've heard really impacted you or you just want to give some love to the writer. Hit us up. You know where to find us.
As always, if you enjoyed yourself while listening today, please tell your friends. Check us out on socials. Check out our classes. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars on whatever you're listening on.
Yep, that's all for us, everybody. Hope you have a super swell day.
Hope you have a swell day on your trails.
Tip of the hat to you.
Tip my cap.
Top of the morning.
Tip our hat to you.
Okay.
Where are we? Irish? Is
we are, apparently. I believe it's March both. Now. Almost April. You're welcome.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you very much.